Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Prophetic Prayer Warrior Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Kim Jackson.
And I'm your co-host, Taronda Hamilton.
Taronda, we're back.
We're back live.
I know it's been a while. I know it's we've been taking a small hiatus. But, you know, we've been going through some things where we've been trying to find out what God is doing with us. And sometimes you have to step away to come back, to see the things. So today we want to start off with a topic. I know this may be kind of controversial, but I think it's something that needs to be brought up. And the question is, are we walking in faith or in lies? Well, let's talk about the first lie in the scripture.
Okay.
When Satan lied to Eve, telling her about the apple, oh, God he's telling you this because he don't want you to be like him. It's not going to do anything to you. You're not going to die. God just don't want you to be at the same level as he. Same level.
Mm-hmm.
So, by saying that, she decided to bite the apple. Oh, so sweet. It tastes so good.
Good enough she wanted to share it.
Yeah. Adam, come in, Adam. I want to show you this. No, God said don't. He just don't want us to be like him. Try it. Try it.
I'm still here. I didn't die.
Yeah. He bit into it. What was closed had came open. In other words, God has showed him that he went from someone who was innocent that didn't know sin to now he walked right through the door.
Wow.
So what was sweet became bitter. And this is what we're walking in. When you're walking in truth, everything to you is not going to be what you think it should be. So you accept a lie. The lie agrees with your spirit. The lie agrees with your flesh.
The flesh.
And the lie agrees with everyone that you bring with you because they want to be a part of your group. But when some person steps in with a light and says, well, here's the blunt and awful truth, and just drops it on you, then you tell yourself, that can't be right. That cannot be right. That is absolutely wrong. God has not showed me that. I don't know where you get this from.
Mm-hmm.
That is not of God. Then over time, your spirit starts to go into what we call this battle, the truth and the lie.
We have been so convinced and bombarded with things that are not truth, things that are lies. For so long, it has become a part of us. And it's hard for us to change our thinking. And I'm reminded of a young lady I used to work with. And when she was in high school, her family took in a foreign exchange student.
Mm-hmm.
And the student came from Russia. And this was before the wall went down, the Berlin Wall.
Yeah.
And so when he got here, he was only here for about a week. He could not believe the freedoms that we have, and he believed it was like, no, this is not real. This is not, you're deceiving me. You, what are you doing? Why are you playing with me? What kind of game is this? He could not believe you could just get up and decide, I'm going to the mall. Get up, I'm going to decide I'm going to school. I'm not going straight home. I'm going to hang out with my friends. I'm going to a restaurant. I can choose what I want to eat. And he was so... It messed him up so bad, he was not even willing to stay long enough to find out this was the reality. He was so comfortable with the lie that he had lived in Russia as far as where you can go and what you can eat, what you can have, what you can do. He was so accustomed to that, he could not adjust his mind around the fact that there's so much more freedom in the United States. So he went back into bondage, and it's sad because a lot of people that we know and work with and live with are so used to being things so negative it's hard to think that things can change or get better.
Well, see, I'm going to bring that home to us. I mean, I don't live in Russia. I don't know how it is. But I'm going to bring it home to where we are in the United States. We as Christians, we as walking in the faith, we will stay in a place of worship where we look for truth, but yet what comes out a compromise.
Because that compromise allows us to stay in our comfort zone, even if it's just for a moment, or, you know, I see the light, but then they turn off the light.
Yeah. But when truth walks through the door, you're willing to stand toe-to-toe with truth and battle with it because it doesn't agree with what you was taught.
Right. Right.
So we are taught a lot of things. Because I'm a person that's in the industry of electronics, mechanical, and networking. This industry, it only goes... It either works or it doesn't. It's either right or wrong.
No middle ground.
There's no middle ground.
Okay.
But in the walk with Jesus Christ, he gives you that option. You could stay to the left, to the right, or you could stay in the middle. But you can't be all three. You cannot be all three.
Either hot or cold.
Yep.
Hot or cold.
So, are we listening to truth in our life, or we listen to the lies that come up? And lies, I mean, that tells you that, well, you know, you can't go that distance that you think you can. You can't do this because your spirit won't allow you. That's impossible. See, one thing mankind has failed to realize. We are not sure of what the spirit and the body can do when it's joined together. We only assume.
Joined together with?
With together, as far as when you have the spirit mm-hmm. and the body together as one.
Okay.
Okay, I'm sorry. Make it good as one. It's amazing what it could do. Amazing things.
Well, let's add on to that, build on to that, Kim.
Okay.
Because only when our spirit, and let's clarify.
Yeah. Cause
we're talking about we're walking in truth or in lies.
Yeah.
Truth according to the will of God and the word of God. And only when our spirit bears witness with the spirit of God do we find the reality of and the empowerment that a lot of us are seeking.
Yeah.
Now, see, our spirit can bear witness with the flesh, and the two think they're right because of tradition,
yeah.
family heritage, our community. I mean, a whole lot of things will tell our spirit and our flesh, this is the way we're supposed to walk. This is the way things are supposed to be.
Yeah.
But until we connect with the spirit of God and recognize that it bears witness to the word of God, it is so easy for us to be deceived. And walking in that walk with the word of God, we've got to trust and believe what God is saying is true. One of the problems with in the beginning, when you go back to the beginning,
yeah.
it was God's word that said, do not eat. It was his word.
Yeah.
But they went against the word of God. And that's when the crash and burn happened?
Yeah. We're going to fly without it. Oh, no, we're going to. No, it's too late.
We're going to be like God. And the sad part is someone told me they already were like him.
You know, yeah, that brings up a good point. Sometimes we seek things that we see that others have. We don't realize that we're already walking in
we
it.
We already have it.
You know, I was thinking today. Well, actually, not today. It was actually a couple of days ago. And I said, Lord, I want to be free of the bondage. And it came back to me, you're already free. You just need to release.
Release. Clarify.
Release means that you need to lay back in the pool and just let go.
Oh, my God, I know how that feels. That is so awesome.
Yeah, but we get so tied up in the things around us that it consumes our lives. And have you ever heard the story? Most people say, well, it's hard to keep up a lie than it is to tell the truth.
Because you got to keep building on that lie, and then you got to remember what you said the first time,
exactly.
The second time, third time, fifth time. It's like, and then somewhere along the line, you fool around getting that snare because we just don't. We can't.
So for me to tell you the truth and deal with the consequences once, that's the way we should do. But society's got us thinking, well, why tell the truth? It's easier to tell the lie. But let's flip that around. See if the one who's always telling a lie, someone came and did the same thing to him. He gets upset because he wanted the truth.
You know, I'm going to be honest, Kim. I'm being transparent here for a minute. I had a flashback. When we were young, you know, me and my brothers, and I'll say we were probably, I might have been in middle school, and my youngest brother was probably still in grade school. We were in grade school. Anyway, elementary. And my younger brother, Kim, was so known to tell a lie. That was his reputation. That was his reputation. And so knowing this, now, Kim, I didn't do a whole lot of things when I was little. I didn't really get in trouble or anything. But this particular day, I broke something. That was my mother's. And I knew she was going to massacre me, kill me, okay? And so when she came home and asked who did it, Kim, I was silent. Because I knew in my silence, my mother would accuse my brother and not believe him.
Oh, that's wrong.
It was wrong. And I'll tell you how wrong it was. I left the house because I didn't want to hear him cry. Because I knew she was going to get him. But I was not going to fess up. That bad nature, okay, that old sinful nature, I wasn't getting in trouble for that. But I knew his reputation would allow my mother to believe he was lying to her. And, yeah. I remember, I'll never forget that.
Did
I had to,
out,
yes, I did. I had to, because I mean, all my life it haunted me.
Oh, God.
But, I mean, anyway, that, yeah, I had to share that.
You know, that's amazing. See, the small things you don't think of. See, most of you say, well, you didn't do anything wrong. You did.
My silence was his accuser, because I knew how she was going to think, because that was his reputation.
Left him out there in the cold.
I left the house. I did not want to hear him cry and scream and my mother fuss and complain. I didn't want to be a part of that, even though it should have been me. But I knew that was a killing that was waiting to happen.
Did you go back and tell your mother years later?
I don't think I ever told my mother. I probably asked my brother, but I don't think I ever told my mother. Oh, but anyway, be careful with the lies you tell. I mean,
yeah.
That's a reputation you don't want to get.
I mean, I want us to walk in the truth, not lie, excuse me, because I believe it. I know it's difficult, and walking in truth hurts, especially when you tell someone.
You can.
Well, I don't like that. And some people will be like, why you don't like it? I just don't. I mean, I can't
give
you.
Some people take it personal.
Yeah. They don't take it personally. I'm telling you the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Would you rather me tell you a lie to build your confidence and then someone else tell you what? Well, that he's wrong. You asking me my opinion, you asking me what I think.
Kim, you know what? The one thing about this question that you have presented to our audience today is it's very personal. And that's a response that we as individuals are the only ones that can answer that truthfully and know it's the truth. It makes us search ourselves, because someone had once asked me, you know, we were in a conversation, something had happened, and they were saying, well, you know my heart. I try to do what's right. And I said, as long as I've known you, I don't know your heart. Scripture tells us the heart is deceitful and wicked. Who can know it? Sometimes we don't even know what's going on in our heart.
No, we don't.
And so for me to bear witness that you are, your heart is, I can't do that. We can't even do that for ourselves.
No.
Because we'll be walking along thinking we're walking in what's right, and then all of a sudden the mirror or the light comes on. And it's like, oh my God, I was wrong. It was me. It was me. I made the decision. And a lot of times when we get in certain situations, we want to blame Adam and Eve. We want to blame someone else for the circumstances that we're in instead of really taking a really good look at ourselves and coming and confessing it was me. And I think because sometimes we're not honest with ourselves, we miss out on a whole lot of things that God wants for us because we're trying to deceive the one that knows all.
And we can't because he's the one that
There's
knows
no
your
way.
Heart. Yeah,
exactly.
He knows your heart.
And, you know, and it's funny because I thought about when there are those that will tell you, don't get mad at God. You can't do that. You can't be. Well, he knows my heart. And if I'm mad at him, I can't try to deceive him and think, oh, everything's okay. No, I have to come and be honest. God, I'm angry. God, I'm mad. God, I don't like you today. Don't kill me, but I don't like you today. Spare my life, but I'm upset. I don't understand. But we had honesty, truth comes from within.
But you know, what you just said, people said, don't get mad at God.
Mm-hmm.
We hear that, don't argue with God. But then you go on against what is written in the scriptures. These people that followed God and did what God wanted them to do, they argued, they fussed, even they cried.
They were human.
It's like,
so be honest. I mean, be honest.
Most people, I guess we think that, well, we need to be these upright, purified, formed humans. We're not in that state yet. No one has reached the level that Christ is.
That's why the scripture tells us we're growing in grace because we are daily messing up, but daily we're supposed to be growing.
Yes.
Daily we're supposed. So, you know, I was in a conversation with someone. They said, well, that's just the way I am. I said, well, that's part of the problem. I am supposed to be dying daily. So maybe that was you, but you're supposed to be dying out of that instead of sitting back and accepting this is who you are. That's why we're told you must be born again. That old person has to die and be born again in spirit and then begin to grow and change.
Yeah, you know, the thing that bites me is God is still working on me.
Is he? Can he? Have we allowed him to?
Like if you had a conversation with God, he's probably saying, no, buddy. No, sister, I have broken you already. You're the clay on the floor. I'm just trying to find another place to pick up some more clay. I ain't done work yet. It's like we've taken so many things in our lives and made them gospel.
Mm, right.
And we call them truth, but they really are lies.
Lies. And we have to be careful when we say, well, I'm just stating the facts.
What facts? From where?
Well, you know, people will come up with their list of facts. But see, my problem with facts is they change every single day. Facts change.
Yeah.
And for one while, the earth was flat. And if you go too far, you don't fall over the edge. That at one point was a fact. The earth evolves around the sun. At somewhere in history, that was stated as a fact. But all of these facts are being revealed and changed to truth. Truth is we evolve around our sun. Truth is the earth is not flat. And so truth is we base it upon what God's word says because our facts can change. The fact could be that I don't have any money in the bank. But truth is, all my concerns and needs have been met by the grace of God. So we have to distinguish what's truth what are facts that can change, and what are just lies where we have been deceived all our lives. And let's take our listeners to the beginning of this. When we were praying and asking God, what were we going to talk about on the day's show, we came up with, you called and said, hey, do you realize this is April for coming up on April the 1st?
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, that's right. So why don't we talk about being deceived? Because that's what everybody wants to do that day. I'm going to see if I can deceive you into thinking something, something, whatever, whatever. And it's a game, but at the same point, that's where we came up with the topic, are you walking in truth or are you walking in a lie? Are you being deceived? And our scripture, there were several, but the one that God shared with us is Revelation 12:9. And it says, so the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceived the world, whole world. He was cast into the earth and his angels cast with him. And the portion that we're pulling out is the people who were he that deceived the whole world. And there's a spirit of deception that's going out through this whole land, through this whole world.
Yeah.
And unless we get grounded in truth, we're going to get caught up in that whirlwind of deception.
But you ask yourself, is it what God, because just like the saying of house of cards or house of lies, it has to build up to its fullest point before it, you know, maybe people will not want to hear this, before it collapses. So God will let you build it up thinking that what you have is the truth. What you have is what God wants you to have. But in turn, it comes out to be that it has no foundation.
That's the key, Kim. There wasn't a solid foundation. Now, you can have a raggedy, tacky foundation, okay? And you can build it on some sand, and you put too much weight on that thing, what's going to happen? It's going to sink.
Yeah, I like the story you talk about how the person builds his house.
Yes.
I find that to be interesting because, if you build your house on sand and eventually the sand gets pulled away, the house collapses. When you build your house on, what was the other one? I'm trying to remember them all. It's been a moment since I've heard the story. I can't remember the other two that he said he built a house. I don't know if it's rocky ground. I have to look that one up. Forgive me. I'm going to have to look that one up.
You're talking about scripture.
Yes, it's in the scripture.
Stone. Ooh, Kim, you're embarrassing us. Mental block. I'm gonna make you laugh. This is where I'm gonna go with this. Remember the little nursery rhyme about the three little pigs?
Yes.
Okay. The one had his house made out of straw.
Yep.
What was the other one?
Yeah, one had his house made out of sticks.
Sticks, straw, and then bricks.
Bricks. Yep.
And it's the same thing. What is solid enough for you to build on? And in this day and age, in this world, the only thing solid is God's truth, the truth of God's word.
God is the foundation. Because if you ever seen a person build a house, the first thing that they build is the foundation.
Mm-hmm. And Kim, don't you have to go even before that? I mean, even if you have a fast, strong foundation, again, if we put it on the beach or the edge of a cliff where the ground gravel is loose, even with a strong foundation, the house can collapse and fall.
Yeah, that's why you have to prepare the ground, just like when you do when you're trying to plant. You prep the ground.
Okay.
To be able to hold a structure.
Okay.
If you want to I'm just going to start off building. Okay, but you never know what's up on the ground. Could the ground be unstable?
Yeah.
Could the ground have water upon it? Could the ground be a ground that has just nothing but sand?
Mm.
You don't know until you start digging and pulling out.
A landfill?
Yes.
build it on a landfill, there's nothing solid there.
Yeah.
And you know what, Kim, unless we got to really be careful, because sometimes we lean on our own understanding, our own thoughts. Because I just had a flashback. There are communities where they build their homes, and the home's been there for years, for even centuries in some places, especially in Florida. And then all of a sudden you'll find it, your house and everything around has gone into a deep sinkhole. What you thought was solid, and you built on what you thought had been there for years and would continue for years, all of a sudden everything just comes crumbling down under you, under your feet.
And so that brings about tradition.
Mm. Okay.
It's been there for years.
Years. We've always done it this way.
It's been the foundation of this, foundation of that. But even time changes things.
Right.
Tradition, it was what was done back then. They did it for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
But that don't mean you take what they did and do it now, but you do remember why they did it.
You know, that's, I think one of the best illustrations that I learned, it kind of surprised me when I found out the truth behind it. They were taught, you know how we always go to some places and they tell you we're going to line the hymn?
Yeah.
They're going to give you the words prior to, and then that way you can sing right along with them. And I looked, I don't remember if I looked it up or somebody shared it with me, but when they first started lining hymns, they didn't have hymnals. And a lot of the people couldn't read anyway if they did. So the worship leader would line the hymn.
So what is lining the hymn? Give me a history on lining the hymn. Some people... when you brought it to me, I was like, I had no idea what it was.
All right. So Nita asked me, okay, let's do this with all right, I guess I'm on nursery rhymes today. But anyway, lining the hymn is like if you're going to sing Mary Had a Little Lamb.
Yeah.
Okay, I would start off, Mary Had a Little Lamb. That's lining the hymn. And then I would come back and we would sing, Mary had a little lamb. And so then I would line the next phrase. And
okay.
Then we come through and we'd sing it together. So they were lining the hymn. And today, we still in some places do that same tradition, lining the hymns. We got hymnals. We've got monitors with the words on it. But we still find ourselves lining hymns. But that was the history behind it. People didn't have access to the words or ability to read, and yet we still do the same tradition of lining hymns. Anyway, let me stop before I get in trouble.
But think about it, because if you could put it into modern days, it's not even the hymn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We look at things we want to change, but yet we're so stuck in the past. So a change can't go forward.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know, again, in this, you're talking about bringing to today, the story is told of a young lady that made her grandmother, great-grandmothers, all the way through their family lineage, her famous meatloaf.
Yeah.
And so she would mix it up, and then she'd take half and put it in one pan and the other half and put it in the other pan. And it was great. And finally someone asked her, well, why do you use the two pans? She said, well, that's the way our family's done it. They said, but why? So she went back and asked why it started that way. Because she didn't have a pan big enough for the family, so she had to put it in two. But that became, they kept doing it, not knowing why they did it. The original person, family member, only had so many pieces of pots and pans. So she put half in one, half in the other, because they were feeding a lot of people. And they thought that was, quote, part of the recipe, part of the process, where we have roast pans and all of this stuff, but because of tradition. And so we do things without even asking why we do them.
It's almost like we don't want to learn why we do it. We just want to just keep doing it.
We accept what we're being told as truth and reality instead of us thinking. And that's part of it. We don't pray things out anymore. We don't, you tell me this and I'm going to follow you. And I think that's why Paul told Timothy, study to know thyself approved, rightly dividing the word. Because see, we've been told some things and then we believe some things. And it's not true. It's not true. But we didn't go back and study it for ourselves. There are traditions that are being made upon what God spoke to somebody. And for that person, it might have been a another story, okay? I went to a women's session, and in this women's session, the missionary that was up speaking, she said, if you notice, I don't wear jewelry. I don't wear jewelry.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, but I will not tell you not to wear jewelry. She said, there are traditions that say you don't wear this, you don't do that. She said, but the reason I did it, I don't do it, is because God challenged me. Before I got saved, before I came into the knowledge of God and Christ, jewelry was my God. She said, I would go out into the it could be raining, it could be a storm, the house could be on fire, but I'm going to put on my jewelry before I expose myself to the public. I got to have it all on. And she said, it was so much embedded in my heart that God told me to let it go. And so I end up having to let it go, she said, but there are those who have made traditions of out of what God told them to do or not to do. She said, so I stand before you. You look fine in what you have on. And I will not make it a tradition for you because this is what God told me. So a lot of things we do and don't do is because something God spoke it to that one person for a particular reason. And then they wanted to make a tradition out of it.
So you went on the psych of jury. You know the thing that came to mind?
Hmm.
And I still think about that. All right, this may touch a lot of people, and it may make them upset. Why do we wear a cross? Where in the scripture did it say, put a cross around thy neck?
Kim, you know people are trying to bear their cross. That's how they bear their cross, Kim. They put it on. And I think the one that gets me is the ones that have Christ still on the cross.
Yeah.
He's no longer there.
But, I mean,
you're right.
Bear the cross. I thought that meant putting your burdens.
Going through the trials and tribulation that God gave you. That's my understanding.
Because I got to a point to where I said, you know, if I wore the cross, I wouldn't wear it outside. Then I got to, so, well, I won't wear it at all. I just have it with me. Or I just know it is around me. But then my mind started thinking, why? Why do we wear the cross? You don't see a lot of people running around wearing the fish around their neck, emblem, which symbolizes Christianity or Christians back in the time of crucifixion.
Well, you know, Kim, if you are trying to be a witness and your witness is in the form of a piece of jewelry, there's a problem. Now, I can wear it to remind myself, maybe, okay, and maybe that's why some people do, to remind themselves. But then again, if that's what you need, to remind yourself a piece of jewelry, then again, that's a problem.
Yeah, because then God said, my people, the word should be written in their hearts.
Yes. We are written epistles, known or written letters, for those that don't know what an epistle is. We are written letters known of men, known and read of men. People read us. Not our symbols. They read our language. They read the way we walk, the way we talk, the way we treat other people.
Yes.
This, by the love you show, other people will know that you are my disciples. Any other way, you're coming as a deceiver. Because, see, we hide things behind that cross on our neck. We hide things in public when we're in conversations with people. But the truth of the matter is the way I walk, the way I talk, and we forget I may be able to deceive everybody in the whole world, Kim, but God is the one that knows. And we tend to forget that discerning of spirits is part of the gifts that comes with the Spirit of God. And at any given time, that gift can kick in and show me they're trying to deceive me.
Yeah.
And we forget that.
We do because we're so used to people showing up and giving you their name or their pseudonym, so I call it, and letting you see the outside, the aura that they have,
mm-hmm.
knowing that if you dive deeper, that you're going to be in the wasteland of the true person, which means the person is not real. It's like, I'm showing you my representative, so you won't judge me. But God knows who I really am. But I want you to look on the outside. Like I said, man looks on the outside, but God looks on the inside.
You know, Kim, now I just thought about something. If we would come to people as we really are, only the true followers of Christ will follow us and accept us in all of our garbage, all of our weight, all of these things that we're trying to work on. True people of God will love me in my mess. But unfortunately, I think sometimes we're afraid of how we'll be treated. And I think that's why a lot of people don't come into the faith, they don't come into the house of God, because they're afraid if people see all this stuff that's in me that I don't want you to see, that I'm ashamed of, I'm embarrassed to see, I don't even want it. There are things that I'm too weak at this point to overcome. I'm afraid you will not accept me. And I'm afraid there's too many people out there that have that mindset, and it's rightly so, because some of us are in a place where we don't want to accept people as they are. We don't believe that they can change. Oh, they'll never change. They'll always be like that.
But you know, if you tell someone who you are, who you truly are, and if they don't accept you, who's at fault, you or them? You showed them the truth, but they're willing to accept the lie about you. But in this walk of truth and lie, we want to see things set in goals, trees lining up from front to back. There's none leaning, there's none crooked. We always want to see them straight. We want to see the grass cut to a certain level. We want to see the house immaculate condition to be a certain look. But in truth, that's only the outside of you. The inside of you is like someone has took you to a dunkyard or a junkyard and just thrown you in it.
And that's all of us, Kim.
Yeah, and you see, that's what God wants. That's who he wants. He don't want your pristine look, he don't want the crease in your pants. He don't want
that false image.
Yes.
He doesn't want the false image.
He wants you.
He wants me. And I am my heart.
Yes.
And when I allow the word of God to change my heart, all this outward stuff will change automatic.
Yep. You'll find out that the outer stuff you just really don't care about.
It doesn't even matter.
And society will always judge you by your looks, by the things you do. But God would always judge you by who you are.
And that's the unfortunate reason why a lot of people walk a life that's being very deceitful, because they're afraid of rejection.
Yeah.
I don't even know another word. I mean, rejection, because that's what we do. If things don't look according to our standards, our judgments, then I find myself not want to accept you, and that's the way society has become in a lot of cases.
Yeah.
But it should not be found in the house of God.
It shouldn't be. But I want our listeners to understand, by all means, we're not psychiatrists. We're just telling you about our walk, telling you about things that we have experienced. This is our testimony to share with you that in our lifetime, we experienced the lining up. We experienced the grass being cut.
Mm-hmm.
We experienced having the crease in the pants. Everything looks nice and prissy. But then you come to a time in your life to where you wake up. Instead of ironing the pants, you just shake them.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of cutting the grass, you just let it grow. Instead of trying to straighten the tree, you just let it bend.
in those moments, Kim, when I think I've got it right. I think I've made an advance to where I do have the creases. I do have the starched shirt. I do have my shoes shined up, and I'm walking my walk, and I find that I've tripped on something, Kim. And I've fallen in that mud puddle. Now, I can either scurry to get up and get back inside and hide so no one sees me, or I can let the reality be known that I'm not walking a perfect life. And there are times when I do slip and fall. I don't waddle in. I just get up, I clean myself off, and then there are those that will be sitting around on the sidelines saying, see, I told you she was a hypocrite. I told you she was a hypocrite. And my response is, no, I'm walking the best I can, and there will be time. There will be times. There will be times that I will slip and fall. And I'm not too embarrassed to tell you, yes, I fell down, but I'm not going to stand that. I'm going to allow God to clean me up again. And I'm going to walk that walk. And if I slip again, so be it. And I expect to slip again as long as I'm walking in this flesh. I'm going to slip again. I'm going to have to get up and change my clothes and do it all over again.
You know, even in that instant of you slipping, learn to get up and just laugh.
Right, right.
Just laugh. Okay. Let's start all over.
Laugh with everybody else. Like, okay, yeah.
Because, you know, my thought
has
always...
That one comes.
Yeah. My thought has always been, if you're able to stand up again and live through the next moment, you have a right to laugh. You have the right to live. Why worry? People are going to judge you for the way they see you. But God is going to judge you for who you are,
yeah,
and how you look. And this has been... the truth and lie thing has been something that has always run through my mind. Because we're so willing to accept what others give us, but yet we're not willing to receive what God has for us. Because you can't walk in lies and expect to come up at the throne of Christ and say, Lord, heal me.
And let me say this to those that are. It's never too late to change.
Never.
And no one expects that change to be overnight unless God does something miraculous in you and does change you overnight. But for the majority of us, it's a growing thing.
Yeah.
It's a growing thing. And even those that appear to be walking in truth all the time, trust me, something's going on in them, because as long as we're in this flesh, something's going to be going on, if it's no more than something that's in their minds. And to God, as a man thinketh, so is he. So even if your thoughts are not right, I can deceive you into dressing right and walking right and running right, reading right, writing right. But you cannot discern my thoughts. And that's what God looks at just as well. You cannot discern my heart. And that's what God looks at. So let us not get caught up on the outward things that are going on. It's the heart. It's the thoughts. These are the things that God is really concerned about, because these fuel everything else. As a man thinketh, so is he.
Yep.
Your words have power. Whatsoever you say, you shall have. Okay? I can't, you can't. I don't, you won't. Okay? So our words, our thoughts, our heart, let God be the one to change us. And not be deceived by all these other things that are around us.
It's this thing, deception. You could either walk in truth or walk in lies. You could either let someone whisper in your ear, or you could stand back and say, no, that's not what I want. Love the toad.
I thought I turned that off.
Oh, God is so funny. But we're coming up on Easter Sunday. We're in the month of April.
Resurrection Sunday.
Resurrection.
Let us rise.
And after that, we're going to be walking in Pentecostal Sunday.
Mm. Exciting days ahead.
Yeah. So, the next 45 days, 50 days, which are you willing to walk in? Jesus came to us with truth. Satan stands before us with lies. And he tells us all these things about what he could give us. But basically, he can't give you anything but death.
You know, Kim, I just thought about it. I mean, we know this, but when you think about what happened to Jesus in the wilderness, Satan came with him with the word.
He kind of skewed it a little bit, though.
He told it as it was. He said, if you fall, the angels will bear you up,
mm-hmm.
and which was true. And it was the word. It was the truth. But the thing is, I'm not going to tempt God, because, see, that's the other part of it. I'm not going to tempt God.
Yeah.
And then you tell me you're going to give me all these kingdoms of the world, or turn this bread into stone, you won't die. I mean, he told Eve, you will not surely die. He comes a lot of times with truth, but unless we know the whole truth, we can again be deceived. So that's why we have to study. We have to really know. And then I believe, if there's something that I don't know, and again, God knowing my heart,
mm-hmm.
I believe the Spirit will reveal it. I mean, the Scripture tells us the Spirit will reveal even the secret, the hidden things of God. So if I'm really walking in the Spirit, really asking God to lead and guide me, there are some pitfalls I can't avoid. There are some that I have to go through because it's part of those trials and tribulations and afflictions. A lot of there are some things I will have to go through, but then there are countless things that I don't have to because of my ignorance. I have to understand what God requires, what God is telling me, which means I have to be so in tune with him. And then so in those moments where things do go bad and I don't expect it, I have to understand it's in the will of God. The Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted. So there are moments when we will be led into certain circumstances for the trying of our faith. But then there are those times when we can't avoid things. But the whole bottom line is being in tune with that on moving, on striving God, so that when I find myself in whatsoever state I find myself in, I'm content. Because he is with me.
Yep. Whew. That's a mouthful. That's a spirit overwhelming fool.
That's the guy we serve. We're living in an overflow.
Yeah.
Just let it flow.
Because we're living in 2016. I'm not for sure if our listeners even thought about this, but go back when you're like 9, 10 years old.
That's a long way.
Yeah, I know, but.
Go ahead.
What do you think about it? When you sit up there, ask yourself, "Ooh, I wonder what the future will be like. I wonder what things are going to, where am I going to be? How is it, what decisions will I make? What direction will I go? Who will I impact?" Then ask yourself, not the older you, the younger you, have you done all that you could do to inspire someone? Have you fed into someone's life, or have you told someone the truth?
And, you know, if the answer is no, it's not a problem.
No, but you can change it.
We can change it.
As long as you're still breathing.
Yes.
You're still above the ground.
Yes.
You have the ability to change where you're at.
Mm-hmm. So let's be honest with ourselves.
Yes.
And begin to ask ourselves this question: are we walking in truth, or are we walking in lies? And then make a decision, a choice. where you want to find yourself today. Not even worrying about tomorrow, but today. For the rest of the day, how are you going to walk? And that's a personal question. Working out our own soul salvation, we can only answer that according to our own reality.
Yeah, because you only know where you are.
That's all we know.
Only you and God.
That's all we know. And we cannot live off of someone else's truth or lie. We've got to do this for ourselves.
Yeah, because when the time of judgment comes, Jesus is not going to ask you, well, where's your friend at who can speak for you? Bring him forward. He's going to stand there in front of Christ as he looks through the book of life to see how you lived. What you going to tell him? The Lord, all that's written in there, there's a bunch of lies.
Well, the only friend I have is the Holy Spirit, and I hope he helps me out when I'm there. Oh, that's the friend that you can trust. That's the friend that you can lean on. That's the friend that sticks closer than a brother. And throughout this whole walk, that's who we want walking with us.
Yes.
To bear witness to the truth and the lies.
Yeah, because he's the one writing in that book for you.
He's writing in that book.
Ah, Lord, he ain't. Let's see. Yep. And if most people, when you're young, you believe in Santa. He knows when you're listening, knows when you're nice. But the Spirit knows that and more.
And more. He knows the intentions behind every move, every
yep.
word, everything. He knows the intentions and that and the motives. And that's what we cannot hide.
No, we can't. God is ready for us to do great things.
Amen. It's time.
I mean, we've always said this from the time that we started doing PPW. And we may have been one to where we have said things, you know, God is wanting you to go meditate, get in that peaceful time. And you may have told yourself, well, I can't do that. Well, we're getting into a point to where can't, it shouldn't be in your vocabulary. It should be the word when. And how? Because God is calling us. He's tugging on us. Not because of what's happening around the world. He's tugging on us because there's a heavy change coming.
We hear it all the time. And we're going to get ready to go off the air with this scripture. 2 Chronicles 7:14. In order for that change to happen, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, not what's going on around them, then I will hear from heaven. I will first forgive their sins and will heal their land. Therein lies our answer to our future.
Yes.
And where two or three come together in my name, anything I ask in according to his will, it shall be done. He's not asking for the masses to follow this scripture. But if enough of us do this, we can affect some major changes. The failure is not in God. Promises stand true. Mm-hmm. And they're there fully written for us to follow through. Another one of my favorites is in Romans. The whole earth moans in eager expectation, waiting on the manifestations of the sons of God. Even the earth is waiting on us. Change is here. Change is imminent. Are we going to line up with what God is asking us to do? Are we going to continue to follow the lies and the deception? For me, true or not, I'm going to try it because I believe it's worth it.
And I do too.
I believe it's worth it.
Now, excuse me, let me go back. I know it's worth it.
I know it's worth it. He's proven it too many times before in my life.
Yeah. Well, we're going to close out in prayer. I love that scripture.
Praise you, the Lord.
I want to pray that God, wherever you're at, opens your eyes. Mm-hmm. Whatever has been poured into you, lies, deception, I pray that he reveals to you and gives you the strength to turn away from all of that and walk away and search out truth. Search out his word. Search out his spirit. Search out his imminent power to be upon you. I pray that God not only touches you, but when he changes you, he makes you a beacon of light to change those around you.
Mm-hmm.
Because we are the witnesses of God. We are the one that reaches others. We are that hand. We are that mouth. We are the foot soldiers. So let God use us.
Amen.
Because if we don't, Satan will.
Amen.
I pray that in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, we've ended another show, successful one. And if you would like to email us, you can email us at prophetic.prayer.warrior@gmail.com. And we pray that you continue to follow us. We pray that you continue to follow Christ. We pray that you continue to stand up and listen to what God has shown you. And don't sit down for what Satan has given you. God bless you. God keep you. And our next broadcast is going to be no other day but the day of resurrection, April the 16th.
Really?
Yes. God bless you all. And we will see you on Resurrection Day.
Amen.
God bless you.
God bless you.
Bye-bye.